Some folks will tell you that you can't get Social Security benefits unless you've worked and paid payroll taxes for at least 40 quarters or 10 years, but they're wrong. I am Rob West. That's wrong because there's such things as spousal and survivor benefits. You may be eligible for them even if you never received a paycheck. I'll talk about them today, then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, there's no question that Social Security is important, maybe even too important. It was never intended to provide more than 40% of what you'll need in retirement, but many people rely on it too heavily for their retirement plan by not having enough in savings. That said, it's especially important to do your research if you haven't worked the required 10 years, because the Social Security Administration usually won't inform you that you may be eligible for benefits. So, let's get a jump start on that research. How do you qualify for Social Security benefits if you don't have the necessary work record? Well, as I mentioned at the top, the first way is through spousal benefits. You may not be eligible to receive benefits based on your work record, but you may still be able to receive them based on your spouse's record or even your former spouse's record in the case of divorce. Typically, you're eligible for up to 50% of your spouse's benefit if he or she applies for benefits at full retirement age, now 66 or 67. For example, if your spouse is eligible to receive $1,500 a month, your benefit amount could be as much as $750. You'd have to be at least 62 years old, and your spouse would have to be receiving benefits already. Now, you can claim your spousal benefits that early at age 62, but if you do, there's a cost. If you claim them before your full retirement age, your benefits will be permanently reduced by about 32%, unless you're caring for an eligible child under age 16. So the bottom line is, unless you absolutely can't live without the money, it's better to wait for your full retirement age to collect spousal benefits. But what if you're divorced? Well, it's interesting because you could almost say divorce has no impact at all on spousal benefits. And here's what I mean. If you're divorced, you may still be able to claim benefits based on your ex-spouse's work record. I say may still be able because the marriage must have lasted at least 10 years and you can't currently be married. Even if your ex-spouse has remarried, you're still eligible based on his or her record. As would be the case with a current spouse, you have to be at least 62 years old to file for spousal benefits, and your maximum benefit would also be 50% of your ex-spouse's full benefit amount if he or she files at their full retirement age. But unlike with a current spouse, your ex-spouse does not need to have already applied for Social Security benefits for you to receive them based on their work record. And finally, your claiming benefits has no effect on your ex-spouse's or their current spouse's benefits. Well, by now your head may be spinning, but the bottom line is you're not left out in the cold if you've been divorced. Now, what if you're a widow or widower? Well, here we're getting into survivor benefits. Your eligibility for those depends on the age when your spouse passed away. If he or she worked for at least 10 years and qualified for benefits, then you may be entitled to survivor's benefits. As a widow or widower, you only have to be 60, not 62 years old, to file for benefits. You may also qualify if you're age 50 or older if you have a disability. And you can file for survivor benefits at any age if you're caring for the deceased worker's child, if the child is under age 16 or disabled. Now, all of that is just for spouses receiving survivor benefits. Surviving children, ex-spouses, parents, and sometimes other relatives might also qualify. In all of those cases, the amount of the benefit depends greatly on how much the worker was eligible to receive and how many people file for benefits. There's a maximum amount of benefits per family, and that's based on the deceased's work record as well. So I know all of this is confusing, and it's safe to say say that what you don't know about Social Security could cost you benefits that you're entitled to. That's why it's a good idea to make an appointment at your local Social Security office and go in with a list of questions. They're very helpful, and you can learn more online at ssa.gov. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Big Tech is blatantly censoring conservative and Christian content, and today's issues made sure you're aware.
The control of information is stunning. Dr. Scott Atlas, one part of the president's team on coronavirus, cited information out of Europe on the lack of value of wearing masks, and Twitter has removed him.
If the issues affect you and your family, today's issues will keep you informed. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on AFR, or listen to the podcast anytime at afr.net.
Once a very bright atheist, he claimed to be the most reluctant convert in all of England. But when C.S. Lewis embraced Christ as Savior, he became one of Christianity's greatest defenders. I'm Charles Morris. Join me with Max McLean all week as we talk about Lewis's life, a series called The Most Reluctant Convert.
Haven today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise and American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Taking your calls and questions on anything financial today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We are just getting reports that the Supreme Court has overturned Roe versus Wade, ending 50 years of federal abortion rights. Big news coming out the day, the information just coming across now, but the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade. Incredible news coming out of Washington today, and obviously much more to come. Well, we're going to be taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, applying God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We'd love to hear from you with some lines open at 800-525-7000. Coming up on the program today, we'll also tackle a question that was posed in the MoneyWise community, and that was, should I buy in a seller's market? That is related to a home, of course. Should I be a home buyer in a seller's market? What do I need to know? Should I just stay away? Well, that was posed in our MoneyWise community alongside other questions that are being being posted literally every day, and I'll weigh in on that one today. Perhaps you'd like to post in the MoneyWise community. You can do that through the MoneyWise app, which you'll find in your app store when you search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance, as well as the MoneyWise.org website. Just click community. All right, a couple of lines open. Looks like 1-800-525-7000. Let's get right to the phones. Dan in Vermont, thanks for calling. Go right ahead, sir.
Hello.
Hi there.
Can you hear me?
I can. Go right ahead.
Praise the Lord on what's going on in Supreme Court today.
That's incredible, awesome. Isn't it?
Well, anyways, what I got going on is I got investment through a reputable investment company, and they have an advisor that we deal with direct that has some flexibility as where they can put investments. There's a retirement fund, so we're living off of the income produced from Social Security and hopefully mostly the interest every year. But the investments have gone down about 10% since January, and it's beginning to cut into the principal now. And we're wondering if this is normal, or if there's something going on here that we need to be addressing our advisor or talking to him a little bit with some options. Or
I'm not surprised, Dan, but let me ask a couple of questions. First would be, you said you've lost about 10%. And it looks like we actually lost your connection there. So let me just weigh in on that. I think here's the big idea. When you get to retirement and you've got a portfolio that you've accumulated over a long period of time, you've obviously been a disciplined and diligent saver. You've built up a nest egg, and now you're using an income stream from it to supplement Social Security. And that's great, because Social Security was never intended to cover more than 40% of your pre-retirement income. If you're pulling out of it each month, you know, we tend to encourage you to target about a 4% withdrawal rate. Where does that come from? Well, from some work that was done many years ago by a man last named Bengen. And that's commonly used, although there's some that, you know, will push on either side of that. It's commonly used as the appropriate withdrawal rate from investments that, if invested properly, usually with a 30% to stock, 70% to fixed income over the long haul, should be able to offset that withdrawal rate. So over time, and that won't be true in any quarter or even year, and this would be one of those years, but over time, you can maintain that principal balance and sustain that 4% withdrawal rate to supplement your income. Now, if you need to take more than that because you haven't saved as much, well, that's okay, but just recognize you're probably going to be eating into the principal at that point. So that would be my first question, is what is your withdrawal rate? And if it's around that 4% number, that's okay, because in any given year, the growth component of that portfolio, although I would have asked how much that is, and I hope that's around somewhere between 20 and 40%. That component of it could be down. But the idea is we don't liquidate those investments during those periods of volatility and declining markets like we're in now. We're in a bear market because we let that recover, and we rely on the income portion to sustain us, and we let that recover. And then over time, that portion should add a growth component to it, which gets it up above the 2 or 3% you might have, you know, gotten from a straight fixed income investment portfolio, and allow you to get that 4 and 5% to sustain your withdrawals. In terms of a 10% downside, is that out of the ordinary right now with what's going on in the market? No, that tells me you are more conservatively positioned, because the Dow is down about 14% year to date. The S&P a little more than 15%, NASDAQ down 26% year to date. So, you know, we've got some downside here that we've hit, you know, and we just hit 20% off our recent highs as well. So, you know, we've got to look at that and just recognize that that's weighing on not only all portfolios, but your portfolio as well. So I would say, you know, this is a good time to check back in with your advisor. Just confirm that you are positioned properly, not overly aggressive or conservative. And if you have time, the time horizon right, meaning 10 years plus, and you would, even if you're in retirement, because if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you need that money to last a long time. If you're not overly aggressive, then I would just say you stay the course, and a 10% downside doesn't concern me right now, even though it can be alarming when you open your statement. So we appreciate your call today very much. Let's head to Lindsay. You're next on the program. Go right ahead. Lindsay, are you with us? Hello, Lindsay.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Thank you for your ministry. Really appreciate it very much. Mm. And may God continue to richly bless you and your team going
well. Thank
forward.
You, sir. That's very kind.
My quick question is this. I am age 63, currently employed, plan to retire in 2025. My wife and I bought our home in 2019. And so far I've paid down 42% of the mortgage.
Great.
However, with the downturn in the economy, we're looking at where we are here in New Mexico. The housing market is very limited. When we moved into the area, we had to stay in an Airbnb before we actually found a home that we could live in. So my question is, given the fact that I've got a retirement plan at my current job, and I've just rolled over a 403B from a previous job into a TSA, and we've seen, I think it's approximately, we've lost about 15,000 in the market. I'm going to do a quick calculation here of what that is in terms of my total investments.
Let's do this, Lindsay. I'm going to let you calculate that. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to ask you to hold the line, though, because I'd love to get to your question and then give you my thoughts. We appreciate you weighing in on the program, and thanks for your kind remarks as well. You stay right there just on the other side of this break. We'll come right back to you. Denise, Kenneth, we're coming your way. Two lines open, 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit moneywise.org/connect. That's moneywise.org/connect.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
You've got Christians who love Jesus and they have kids and they're just like, I just don't know what my calling is.
Right.
Will and Nikki Addison.
What is it that Jesus wants me to do? I feel like I'm a teacher.
And that's
that's
why when you go to the scripture and talk about equipping the saints for work of ministry, you should look inside first. It can be right, you know, at your address.
Marriage, family, and the church. That's the focus of Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions. We've got a line open, 800-525-7000. Perhaps that's just for you and the question you've been pondering, thinking about. We'll apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices and help you move forward with confidence. Just before the break, we were talking with Lindsay in New Mexico. And he and his wife have paid off about 40% of their mortgage. So they've got 60% in equity right now. They have a question about perhaps selling and repurchasing to downsize. Lindsay also mentioned that they've seen a decline in their retirement investment portfolio of about 15%. Lindsay, what is the main question you're getting after today? How can I help?
This is the main question. Given the fact that homes are hard to come by in this market here where we are, and we are down about 5% on our investments in the market because we're pretty conservative, and I'm looking to retire in 2025. I don't want to really move into a place where I have to store my stuff and not find a livable place immediately, because that's pretty hard to find here. So that's my question. I don't want to work on emotion. I wish to get sound biblical advice how to go forward.
Yeah, very good. And is the main issue, I mean, I love the fact that, number one, you said you're only down 5% on the portfolio, so it was 15,000, not 15%. 15,000,
right,
which is 5%, that's great. That means you are very conservative. As I mentioned, we're now in a bear market, down 20% from our recent highs on the S&P 500, so you're down a lot less than that. So I would say you stay the course on that. I love the idea when you hit retirement of downsizing. How far away are you from retirement?
I'm looking to retire in 2025.
Okay. All right.
And we have a second home that's paid for fully. And given the fact that homes, if I should sell the current home that we're in and try to move into another home, homes are hard to come by here. When we first moved, we had to move into an Airbnb, have our stuff in storage, and that would be wasted money. It would be just dead money as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, given that you aren't in retirement yet, perhaps you wait this out a bit, because we're still in a very strong seller's market, although the housing market is cooling as a result of the possibility of a recession later this year. Certainly mortgage rates have doubled on average. We're now north of 6.5%, and that's going to continue to head up as the Fed continues to raise rates. There is correlation, doesn't move in lockstep, but the general trend is going to be higher, although we've seen a rapid rise in mortgage rates anticipating even those further Fed rate increases. All of that is going to cause the housing market to cool. Now, why isn't it going to decline? We're the reason I don't think we're in a bubble situation is because there's still a lack of inventory. We're about 2 to 3 million homes shy of the need in this country right now as a result of the millennials now reaching age 30 and wanting to have kids and buy single family homes. They're moving out of the densely populated downtowns into more suburban areas. We've got work remote is now more prevalent post pandemic. So a lot of folks who were living, real close to their place of business in a downtown urban area are moving out because they can work from home. So all of that has led to a really strong housing market. But I think if time is on your side here, you may want to wait this out just so you don't, although you'd get a premium on the sale of this, you'd obviously, potentially pay a premium on what you're going into. And as you said, there's a lack of inventory. We've also got a lot of bidding wars going on because of that lack of inventory. So any conditions you place on this purchase, including a condition that you need to sell your home first, is going to cause you to be a much less attractive buyer. And so I think the idea there would be at some point, if you could sell it, and as a part of that agreement, the sales contract, you put in there that you need to rent it back for up to 6 months. If somebody would be willing to do that on the sale of your current residence, then that would give you a 6-month period of time where you could go out and look for that next home. You could stay put, keep all your things there, and pay rent to the new owner that would be spelled out in the contract. That would be one way to go, unless you wanted to just kind of wait this out and perhaps think about doing this a little closer to your retirement date and see if we don't have a better housing market in terms of it being more of a buyer's market than a seller's market at that point. Does that make sense, Lindsay?
Oh, yeah, makes a lot of sense. One final quick question. I went onto the website, looked for a certified Kingdom advisor in my area, and even within 100 miles, I couldn't find one. So
okay.
my question is, there's only so much you, Rob, you can do on this call, but I want to be able to get to a certified Kingdom advisor who I can, go more into.
We can connect you with one. There are more than 1,500 that have earned the certified Kingdom advisor designation around the country. In many cities, there's dozens and dozens of them, depending on where you're at. It's rare, but you could run into a situation like you're running into, Lindsay, and we're having more CKAs come on board all the time, but perhaps there's just not one in your locale yet. So what I'd love for you to do, just send an email and express your desire to be connected with somebody to info@moneywise.org, and our team will get you connected with somebody who perhaps could work with you virtually as opposed to in person. Would that work for you?
Oh, yeah. Thank you kindly. And you. So let me just repeat, info@moneywise.org.
info@moneywise.org. You got it. Exactly right.
Okay.
All right. God bless you. We appreciate it, Lindsay, very much. Great question from Lindsay today as we tackle this housing market. Boy, it is a challenge. In fact, we had a question that came into our MoneyWise community on should I buy in a seller's market? So I'm going to do a bit of a deeper dive into this as I respond to TJ's question from our MoneyWise community here in just a little bit. Plus, more of your questions. We've got some great ones coming up. 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, God's wisdom for your financial decisions. We're going to take a break, but we'll be right back. Stick around.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
The sports world was awed when Scottie Scheffler won the Masters Golf Tournament. He told reporters he's trying to glorify God through his golf career, giving all the credit to the Lord after his victory. Scottie challenges us to use our successes in life as a witness for Christ. After all, the Bible says God created us and sustains us. You don't have to be a preacher to tell people about Jesus. Just use your success as a way to glorify God. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Siri, open my food delivery app.
Before you order in again, are you sure that's in your budget?
What budget?
Exactly. You need the free MoneyWise app. With its electronic envelope budgeting system, you'll know exactly where every dollar is going, and you can finally stay on top of your money.
I guess that does sound like a pretty good idea. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay. Searching for MoneyWise in the App Store. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
When it comes to the spiritual condition of the church in America, is it strong, weak, or perhaps even on life support? I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. According to the latest George Barnett research, the condition of the church, and specifically those in the pulpits of America, is not even close to strong. Join me, Isaac Crockett, and Dr. George Barnett as we examine the latest research in The Church Triumphant, Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thrilled to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. In just a moment, we'll go back to the phones, taking your calls and questions on anything financial. But first, breaking news out of Washington, a landmark decision from the Supreme Court. I'm joined by Fred Jackson, director of American Family News, for the details. Fred, great to have you with us this morning.
Well, historic day, June 24, 2022. Mark it on your calendars. Pro-life forces in this country have been waiting 50 years for this day. And what was confirmed this morning by the United States Supreme Court, the rumor came out, that leak back about 6 weeks ago. Well, this morning we have it confirmed in a decision written by Justice Samuel Alito. This is what he had to say in the final opinion issued this morning. He wrote that Roe and Planned Parenthood versus Casey, the 1992 decision that reaffirmed the right to abortion, he says were wrong the day they were decided and must be overturned. He wrote, authority to regulate abortion rests with the political branches, not the court. Alito was joined by Justices Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. There was a not quite dissenting decision by the Chief Justice John Roberts, but certainly a strong dissenting decision coming from Breyer, Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan. And Rob, you know, this just points out elections have consequences. Former President Donald Trump was given the opportunity to fill three Supreme Court decisions. Today, all three that he appointed agreed with Justice Alito that the has to be overturned. Now, where do we go from here? We already know that there's at least a couple of dozen states that have put in at least what some are calling trigger laws, that as soon as this decision came down, that their restrictions proposed on abortion were going to kick in. So we're going to see that. But also, we have to remain vigilant. We have seen in recent weeks the violence perpetrated by pro-abortionists against pro-life centers, against churches. And they are being warned by just two or three days ago by some of these violent home terrorist pro-abortion terrorists who have been doing this damage. They have warned that you better watch out, that more of this violence is coming. So pro-life centers, churches that have stood strong against abortion all these years, they are being put on notice. We're hoping the Justice Department of this country will come to the defense. We have been very dismayed by the fact these protesters outside of the justices' homes have been allowed to be there contrary to federal law all the way along. So we're, along with celebrating this decision today, and it needs to be celebrated, those that have been on the front lines of this battle to overturn Roe v. Wade need certainly to be vigilant.
Well, Fred, thank you for joining us with the details. Obviously, a landmark decision, Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade, ending 50 years of federal abortion rights. Obviously, this will be discussed throughout the day here on American Family Radio. Fred, we appreciate your reporting, my friend.
Absolutely.
All righty. Well, folks, wanted to bring you that information as it was just breaking and make sure you were informed. Again, a lot more commentary and discussion, your opportunity to weigh in on this throughout the day here on American Family Radio. Let's head back to the phones. Denise has been waiting patiently in Texas. I'll get it right. Denise is in Alabama, and we'll go there next. Julie, coming your way in just a moment. Denise, go ahead.
Hello. How are you doing this morning?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you. I have two separate, like, kind of situations. First one is I am only, I'm not quite 58, but will be in a few months. And I was married at least 20 years, but divorced. And my ex-husband is 58. So I needed to know, like, when can I receive half of his Social Security?
Yeah.
And then, like, does he have to apply, you know, to receive his at whatever age? I was
yes.
curious about that.
Sure. Let me weigh in on that first. So the spousal benefit, Denise, is normally around 50%, up to 50% of the benefit of the working spouse that they're eligible to receive. The rules are slightly different. If you're divorced, the marriage must have lasted for at least 10 years. In your case, it was 20. You must currently be unmarried. And if your former spouse hasn't filed for benefits yet, you can still file for spousal benefits if you've been divorced for at least 2 years. That wouldn't be the case if you were still married, but in the event of a divorce, it is. You can claim spousal benefits as early as age 62, but you won't receive as much as if you would have waited until your own full retirement age. So if your full retirement age, let's say it was 67, you can choose to claim spousal benefits at 62, again, regardless of whether your former spouse began or has begun claiming benefits, but your monthly benefit would only be, in this case, 32.5% of your spouse's full benefit amount, as opposed to the 50% of his benefit that you would have received if you waited until full retirement age. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. So I wouldn't be able to get half of that until full retirement age.
That's right.
Okay. All righty. I understand that. Do you, I don't know if you recommend, as far as when it's my turn to start my Social Security, do you recommend I wait till my full retirement age?
If you can, I like that idea because you'll see an increase of about 8% a year in that benefit. And so if you're working, you don't need the money, can find other ways to cover your expenses, then that check is going to continue to grow. And once you start taking it, you'll receive that higher benefit for the rest of your life, which will come in handy. Now, you give up those years that you would have been able to receive it at a reduced benefit. So often the calculation comes out that by waiting, like for instance, you know, we often will encourage folks to wait even till age 70 beyond full retirement age. And if you do that, in the benefits you gave up between 67 and 70, it takes 11 years to get that benefit that you didn't receive paid back to you, as an example. But then beyond those 11 years, starting at age 82 and for the rest of your life, you get that higher check amount. So I like waiting as long as you're healthy and as long as you have another way of covering your expenses and you don't need the money, because you're just going to get that guaranteed increase in that monthly check. But each person has to look at that and decide whether that works for them.
Right. I understand. Yeah.
Very good.
Okay. But the other area I was going to ask you about is I have they don't sell these policies anymore, so a lot of people may not be familiar with them, but it was a 20-year return of premium level term insurance.
Yeah.
And I purchased that in January of 2010, and it's a $200,000 policy. Are you familiar with those types of policies?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I don't have an up-to-date, but the last statement that I do have in my file was January of 19, and it said the current return of premium was $1,243, so it probably hasn't gone much up much since, you know, that's only 3 years ago. So my question is, do you feel like I should, of course, they want me to roll it over into, like, a life insurance.
Yeah. Well, I think the two things here, yeah, return of premium insurance is good. Level term, that's what I recommend, is term. You add this rider, it's more expensive, but then you get it back if you don't collect. I would collect that, take it back, but I'd make sure you have a new policy in force of a new level term policy to offset any need that exists if somebody's depending upon you for your income. If not, you may not need it. You could just drop it. We appreciate your call today, and we'll be right back on MoneyWise.
Can you imagine the Iranians? You think they're not listening to our news media? You think they're not absorbing what's being said and coloring their response based on American media? Of course they are. I've never seen more blatant, really, treason in my life than we're seeing from media and from Democrats on the left. Honestly, this is unbelievable, inexcusable, and should be punished. But then it seems like we live in an age where justice just never seems to be done.
Listen to Sandy Rios weekday mornings at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you in need of hope, encouragement, and the love of God? I'm Pastor Salem. I'd like to invite you to join us for the Christian Worship Hour. For decades, I've been teaching the Word of God so that people everywhere can experience the love and power of a personal relationship with our Lord. Tune into this station this weekend and prepare to be blessed and encouraged by another life-changing message.
Learn more about our program at ChristianWorshipHour.com.
Your kids are grown and you're in a new stage of life. It's a challenging adjustment, but author Dr. Jim Burns says now is the time to make a fresh start. And his new book, Finding Joy in the Empty Nest, will equip you with practical biblical advice. Learn to manage big issues like aging parents, managing a fixed income, or how to help your children. Request your copy of Finding Joy in the Empty Nest with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Let's head right back to the phone. Julie's been waiting patiently in Texas. Julie, you go right ahead.
Hey, Rob. Thanks so much. First, I just want to say praise the Lord. I got chills listening to that breaking news. I almost feel like, gosh, I don't even want to ask my question. I mean, we just praise the Lord, and we need to be praying for those conservative justice and their safety.
Well, I appreciate that.
I'm just super thankful, and I just think this is historic, and we just give God the glory for that.
Amen.
Thanks. We have four teenagers, and the first will be going to college in a year, and so my question relates to student loans.
Okay.
And I'd like to say my husband and I, we definitely subscribe to, we only have debt against appreciating assets. So my question is, I'd like to hear your thoughts on how you view a college education, and do you see it as an investment and an appreciating asset? And I want to say I know not all degrees are created equal as far as your return on investment. But for degrees that can lead to licenses, certifications, high-demand professions, CPA, professional engineer, nurse, doctor, those kind of degrees, I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on seeing that as an investment with a high ROI. Also my own personal experience is I did have to take out student loans my last couple of years of college because I was responsible for funding my own education. I got my professional license and aggressively paid those off in a matter of 12 months. And so I just want to hear your thoughts on that view of looking at student loans in that way.
Yeah, I tend to agree with everything you're saying here, Julie. I appreciate your comment. You know, one of the rules I like to put into place when we're thinking about borrowing is only borrow for, as you said, appreciating assets. So the economic return is greater than the economic cost. Of course, in addition to that, we want to make sure we're not denying God an opportunity to work. We want to make sure if we're married, we have spousal unity. But this idea of an appreciating asset is key, which means we don't use credit cards. It would also say we really tried to buy cars with cash, which I know is increasingly difficult. But what about a college education? Yes, it certainly can be an appreciating asset if certain conditions are met. So let me talk about those. First, I would say borrow as little as possible. Now, why do I say that? Well, I think we can, you know, given the rising cost of college tuition and, you know, what it caught, the actual cost of attendance, especially for private schools, it can just be through the roof. And so we can take on these massive loans that will just saddle these young children and future adults coming out of college with massive debt that's just a huge kind of noose, if you will, that, you know, they have to deal with for a long, long time. And so I would say don't just default to borrowing as much as you can or as much as you need. Let's get creative. Let's apply for grants and scholarships. You know, my wife grew up in a single parent home and her mom made it clear, if you want to go to college, which I'd love for you to do, we're going to have to get scholarships and grants. So they turned their living room into a scholarship and grant factory, applying for every scholarship and grant known to man. $150,000 in scholarship awards later, she graduated completely debt-free. You can work on campus. You can work in the summer. So let's just not resign ourselves to borrowing the full cost of attendance. That would be number one. Number two, to the idea of it being an appreciated asset, I would say choose a field of study that gives you marketable skills. You pointed to this as well, but you need to do some research to see what those jobs are paying and make sure you're getting a degree that actually has a real job behind it, not only for today, but given where the labor market's going, and it's changing all the time. And I would say, kind of as a rule of thumb on that, I would want you to be able to, based on a realistic salary for that particular profession, I'd want you to have a plan to get this debt paid back in 10 years or less. You did it in one. That's great. But a lot of folks will keep these, you know, 20 and 30 years and just kind of get used to them. And I don't want that to be there, especially for a young couple that's getting married and, you know, starting out with all of that debt. And then number three would just be, and this goes without saying, but I'll go ahead and say it, you have to finish and get your degree. And a lot of these students, you know, don't actually get through. And so then they don't even get the degree and they got the debt to boot. But as long as those conditions are met, Julie, then I'm, you know, okay with it if you apply these principles. Give me your thoughts, though.
Yeah, I love it. I'm tracking with everything that you said. You know, some things that we're doing with our oldest, who will be a senior in high school, she's wanting to go to a state school and get her engineering degree.
Yeah.
You know, we have her taking, she's taken since her sophomore year, some AP courses where she can test out and get college credit for $60. She's taking dual credit courses through the community college here that's local, you know, so, and that only costs us $60 for a 3-hour course. So we're trying to be very wise in what basic courses. There is no reason to pay a full price tuition on a 3-hour history course at the state school when you can get it at the community college level, and especially when you're in high school, for just pennies on the dollar. So so we're trying to be really wise with that. And I've also told her full-time job, her senior year outside of school, is applying for scholarships.
Yeah, there you go.
And to really, like you said with your wife and what she did, and that's fabulous that she was able to do that, but just really commit to what can we do? Because I think the money is out there, but then being creative, like you said. And I think it's really important too. My husband and I, we actually have, even before we got married, we discussed this because his parents did pay for his college education, and he squandered it the first couple of years, you know, and he wasn't there. He had no skin in the game, so to speak.
I was
the opposite. I was fully responsible. I was the first person in my family to go to college, and I was fully responsible for putting myself through, which I was committed to doing. And so I think we just came from different backgrounds. And so it was very important for me to talk to him about that before we even got married. if and when we have children, what are our views on this? We have to be in unity on this. And he agreed with me that, you know, I mean, it's not our education. We've got our education. It's our children's education. It's for their future employment. So we feel really strongly that we will help them as much as we can, but we're certainly not going to go into debt for their education. And we will guide them, and that we are stewards of their hearts, and we are very involved with them and try to give them godly wisdom and guidance in all of this. But at the end of the day, it's their education, so they're responsible for paying for that. And so I was I wanted to hear your thoughts on, you know, viewing that education as an appreciating asset.
Well, I appreciate your remarks as well, Julie. You and your husband obviously are being very thoughtful about how you're shepherding these future adults, preparing them for when they leave the home to think about money God's way, their role as stewards, having skin in the game, the value of hard work, and setting them up for success. So I appreciate everything you said. You and I are in lockstep, and so that sounds like a great plan. Hey, thanks for weighing in on the program today. We appreciate it. God bless you, Julie. Quickly to Alabama, Kenneth, you'll be our final caller today. Go ahead, sir. Kenneth, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay, go right ahead.
God bless you. I just received a windfall, and it's in an amount where I can pay my home off, and that would leave me zero for the windfall if I was to pay my house off, but I'm wondering if that's a wise decision.
Yeah. Are you working, Kenneth, or are you in retirement?
I'm in retirement.
All right. And do you have some liquid savings, what I would call an emergency fund?
Yes, sir.
All right. How many months' worth of expenses would you say you have separate from this windfall?
I would like to say a half a year, 6 months.
Okay, about 6 months. Great. And are your expenses covered even with the mortgage? And if so, from what sources?
Yes, my payments are taken care of through my Social Security check.
Okay, so you're living on Social Security alone?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and that's enough to cover all of your bills, including your mortgage payment?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. I like this idea, Kenneth. Obviously, it's going to deplete this significant asset that you have, but it's going to put you in a really strong position in the sense that you will obviously free up what would have been going to the mortgage payment. So now you're going to have some more margin to build up even more than you have right now with that 6 months emergency fund. And perhaps once you get up to even 9 months or a year, now you could start investing that difference. I think it's going to leave you completely unencumbered, give you a lot of flexibility. The only exception to that, why you wouldn't want to do that, is if you all were planning to sell and downsize, you may just want to hang on to that capital to deploy on a down payment for your next home. But if you're planning to stay there long term, I love the idea of you being debt free, keeping your lifestyle as lean as possible.
Okay, because what I was up against is there's some improvements that needs to be done on the house, for such as windows, replacements, and garage. And with that lump sum of money I'm going to get here real soon, I was kind of wondering if I should do the upgrades and just leave the house payment.
I think you could go either way. I mean, if you're willing to wait on the upgrade, you could go ahead and pay it off. As long as you pay it off in full and you recapture that mortgage payment, then you could start saving for those improvements out of that what you were sending to the mortgage payment. And then as you build up enough, you could pay for those with cash. Or if you want to go ahead and do the improvements now, because maybe in some cases you need to, they're, you know, really needed, you could go ahead and pay for them and then start accelerating that mortgage payment. And I think my notes here say that you would have been on a 6-year repayment. Maybe you get that down to 2 or 3 years. I could go either way. I just pray and think through that and make a decision. Kenneth, thanks for your call today. God bless you. And as I mentioned, let me just weigh in quickly. TJ posted a question about buying in a seller's market. Here's the key. Don't stretch to make a home purchase, paying well above market prices and pricing it out of your budget. Keep your principal, interest, taxes, and insurance payment if you're buying a home at 25% or less, and make sure you do it with at least 20% down. I think that'll really help you to ensure that you don't stretch too far and place hardship on your budget. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Let me mention, we're right at the end of our fiscal year here at June 30 at MoneyWise Media. We're listener-supported, a nonprofit ministry. If you'd consider a gift before June the 30th, we'd be grateful. We're less than $10,000 away from our goal. You can give online at MoneyWise.com.
www.thefreeisraelis.org, over the phone, through an electronic form, or you can mail in. You'll find the address. Thanks to my team today, Devin, Pat, and Jim. Thank you for being here as well. Come back and join us next time for another edition of MoneyWise on American Family Radio. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.